if you're there, read Matthew 28:1-3.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow.
Mark 16:5-6, Janie.
Okay. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted.
Mm-hmm.
I did say it right. Okay. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which it was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him.
So it was a young man in white raiment. So, and no mention of wings?
No.
All right. I'll take your word for it. Acts 1:10-11, John Allball.
And while they looked on steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
So again, two men in white apparel. Now it doesn't say two white men. It says two men in white apparel. And so people have liked to talk about whether angels can be white or black or whatever. And
wow.
Come on in.
Ain't nobody out there.
But these men, I assume, like the ones that visited Abraham, would have looked like the men of the Middle East. I believe they would look like the people that they're visiting. So if there were angelic visits to, you know, places like, let's say, Colombia or the Philippines, I think they'd look like them. If they visited Ethiopia or, I don't know, whichever, you know, in South Africa, I guess they'd have to have a little bit of everything. It's white and black and everything in between. But I just assume that. But I can't say from Scripture, but the thing is, no one can. No one can say exactly whether these look like any particular race. But what we do know, I believe it's clear that when we are in our glorified bodies and when angels are in their glorified state, they don't look like any human race. They glow. They're children of light. When the Bible says we're children of light, it's not figurative. It's right now, we are children of light in a spiritual sense, but when we're in our glorified bodies, we are literally glowing.
Yeah, amen.
To your point, they probably look like people because in Hebrews 13:2, it says, for thereby some have entertained angels.
Yeah. Unawares. How are you going to be unawares?
If they're pink or purple or
have wings.
Gray, you know.
Or have big wings. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be unaware.
Yeah,
I notice.
So you can look up every reference to angels, and not once will they be described as having wings.
Amen.
I actually did it one time. Wow. I didn't do it in one day either. Like I said, there's 283 references according to my search. We are not condemning those who paint or draw angels with wings so that people know that they're angels. I just want to make that clear. There are artists who do that, and let me show you. I think I got it. Yeah, here's Peter Ruckman. I don't think it hurts the message by the fact that those angels have wings on them. I think if you're focused on that, and that's what you're getting out of that message, you got a real problem because there's a bigger message to be seen in that drawing. And then now this. I saw somebody criticizing this, saying that angels don't have wings. Well, that's supposed to be Lucifer, and he's a cherub, and he does have wings.
Yeah.
So Satan is a cherub and has wings, so it is biblically accurate to portray him that way. Yes?
Yeah. The guy that taught me how to do black light chalk reference, believed, you know, that Christ had short hair, you know, based on when we studied that scripture. And so he started doing his chalk pictures with the Jesus with short hair. And so at the end of the picture, the people would say, who is that? Who is that?
Yeah.
And so he said, no. He said he leaves the long hair on there because I'm trying to reach the audience. Not because he's biblical.
Yeah, and that's off subject, but I've looked at that and I don't buy it. I think that John Wesley probably had closer to what Jesus did, and he didn't have a fundamentalist haircut.
Well, I don't think and, that's what he meant.
But. Yeah. I mean, he didn't have the long, you know, he wouldn't have had like, you know, I haven't seen very many, but I've seen a couple of depictions of Jesus, and he's got like really long hair and everything. But I believe it was long and probably down to his shoulders. And they didn't have barbers, didn't have scissors, you know. Who?
That guy Jesse on that one poster.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, possibly. But most of the old preachers before fundamentalists decided that hair over the ears and over the collar was evil, before that happened, most preachers had hair down to their shoulders. And they'd, a lot of times they'd pull it back and put it into a little ponytail and wear a hat. And we call them hippies today, but that was what those were the fire-breathing evangelists before, you know, the 20th century. Yeah. But it really is unnecessary to follow, it's unnecessary to put wings on angels, even though I'm not condemning them. It's not really necessary, as the following pictures demonstrate. That's a much more biblical painting or rendering of what would have happened when they approached the empty tomb. I think the tomb's off, but at least it's empty. And then, again, this would be much more biblical. I think that's more like what it was like. And so it's very interesting that these winged angels are so prevalent in the occult, in the New Age movement. And Muhammad saw a 600-foot or 700-foot tall winged Gabriel and supposed to have gotten the Quran. I believe he had visions and things. I think he was possessed by the devil, foaming at the mouth and everything that he did. Then Joseph Smith, when he's supposed to have gotten the Book of Mormon, is another big winged being, Moroni, not moron, Moroni, the angel, false, fake angel. Otherwise, we could just put ball caps on angels to identify them. You know, you draw a picture of an angel and just put that ball cap on them, and everybody know who the angel is. I mean,
there was a Disney movie.
Huh?
There was a Disney movie, Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah, that's what they were trying to do. Some refer to texts like this one to put wings on angels. Psalm 91:4, He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. The problem with that is, number one, this is talking about the Lord and not about angels. And number two, it's figurative. God doesn't literally have feathers. He's not a big chicken or, you know, hawk or anything.
He's made in his image, and we don't have feathers.
Yeah, that's right. And point number four, cherub have wings but are not angels, as we talked about just a moment ago. Look up, Jill, if you look up 1 Kings 6:27. 1 Kings 6:27, about cherubs and the fact that they are not angels, but they have wings.
And he set the cherubims within the inner house, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubims, so that the wing of the one touched the one wall, and the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and their wings touched one another in the midst of the house.
So they had wings, like three sets of wings, and they were huge, and all this, and so... even if you drew an angel, you said, "Oh, well, that's a cherub," then it ought to have more wings than just two, because that's how cherub. And as Johnny said, they have four faces. at least the ones described for us. I love this one, 2 Samuel 22:11. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. I want to see Jesus flying around riding on a cherub. That's going to be something. Says he does.
Did you mentioned they have six wings?
Yeah.
They just did.
Yeah.
I know, but that's Isaiah 6:2 if anybody cares.
Read it.
Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly.
Yeah.
I just like to.
Good. So it's fine to say cherub are angelic beings, but they are not angels. Technically, they're just not angels. And number five, cherubims minister at God's throne and not to us.
Amen.
It's a big difference. In Ezekiel 10, Jenny Albaugh, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll come back to Jenny Miller, is Ezekiel 10, 5 through 7. And back to Jim Oldham, Ezekiel 28, 13 through 15. So when you're there, Jenny, read Ezekiel 10, 1 through 4.
Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court.
Man, so it's all about the cherub around the throne. Do you read four?
Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory.
So it's something else to be a cherub in a good way. And you picture Satan there at the throne of God, and it wasn't good enough. He didn't want to be around the throne. He wanted to be on the throne. Read verses 5 through 7 there in Ezekiel 10, Jenny Miller.
And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court, as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. And it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, Take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof, and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out.
Now don't ask me to explain everything going on there. What we do know is that's what the cherub do. And Brother Jim's going to read what happened with Satan when he was a cherub there in Ezekiel 28, 13 through 15.
Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee.
You think of that. That's what Satan, Lucifer, gave up. Wasn't good enough for him. Can you imagine? Wasn't good enough for him. Whew. Many other texts describe the ministry of the cherubims at God's throne. Here's another one. Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth.
Amen.
And then there's Psalm 99:1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved.
Amen.
and on and on. That's just a great study. So in summary, number one, angels are ministering spirits. Number two, they minister to saints. Three, they serve Jesus. Four, they are male. And five, they do not have wings. And that's about angels. Now, I do want to say one thing about cherubims. I had somebody in the past say, well, here's one instance where the cherubims were ministering to people. And I had to point out, this isn't ministering to people. This is threatening people.
Okay.
In Genesis 3:24, are you there?
Oh, I was, yes.
Yeah, oh, you're there. I'll go ahead and let you read that.
Okay.
Read verses 23 and 24 of Genesis 3.
Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So drove he out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life.
So that's not ministering to man. That's basically being used against man and threatening them. Yes.
Protecting his people so that they're not stuck forever alive in sin.
Right, but it's not ministering to the people, it's ministering for the Lord. And I mean, it's like saying you're being invaded by an army. Oh, look at the wonderful ministers. So we guard against error by knowing what God's word says about angels.
Amen.
You got to understand, I just think some people are very nonchalant or whatever word you want to say about it. When God has told us exactly what angels are, what they do, what they even appear like, and cherubim, seraphim, all these, then you have to be careful when you see angels with wings and looking especially like sensual women and all that kind of thing. There's something bad going on. And there's been a couple of ladies in the past, and one Christian man in the past, they're all professing Christians. They were really into this angel stuff, but it was the wrong types of angels, and they had little figurines and paintings and all kinds of things, jewelry, and they didn't want to be told anything about what the Bible says about those things. And as time went on, they went further and further away from Bible-believing Christianity. And so I just think, in general, when you don't have an attitude of, I want to know what God says about fill in the blank, doesn't matter what it is. And if your attitude is to take it or leave it about what God says about fill in the blank, well, then that's a bad attitude for a professing Christian. And it means it's bad. It'll eventually lead to bad things. So, we will one day live among them. So, that's an amazing thing to think about as well. And we're going to talk more about that in our study of angels and the saints.
This church, you don't just not show up if you tell.
Song selection provided by Jenny Albaugh in honor of the 8th anniversary of the first BBF services attended by the Albaugh clan, John and Jill, as of this past Sunday, and Jenny and Johnny as of today.
Happy anniversary!
Thank you!
That is so good!
Yes, it is.
It's a wicked, 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 wicked world that we live in, filled with wicked people raising wicked little kids, people marching in parades declaring pride and sin. Leaves me only wondering when the end begins. When the loving, just, and holy King of righteousness returns, the righteous will be taken and all the wicked burned. Justice will be needed and the just receive reward at the end of this wicked, wicked world. There's a devil, 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 devil walking to and fro. His minions work against you no matter what. destruction and his judgment is assured. When the loving, just and holy King of righteousness returns, the righteous will be taken and all the wicked burned. Justice will be meted and the just receive reward at the end of this wicked, wicked world. It's an evil, 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 evil time to be alive. Just before unleashing Revelation chapter 5, the vials, seals, and trumpets are ready to unfold. But it's a happy ending as the ending is foretold. When the loving, just, and holy King of righteousness returns, the righteous will be taken.
John 14 and Acts 4. It's really, it's a serious statement, but people just aren't used to insanely blunt lyrics like this.
John 14 and Acts 4:12. You don't believe these, then you're gonna go to hell.